anointing on the inside that leads and guides us into truth. Speak your specific words to each individual, Lord, according to their need. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. We are in the midst of a series that I have entitled Living for Adventure. And our intent in that is living the adventure that God intends for us in relationship with the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God will lead us into adventures, and so we have been encouraging the development of the motto of another day, another adventure, just anticipating and expecting that God wants to work through us. God wants to do things in us and through us that are not only going to affect and impact our lives, but also impact the lives of others. Just part of what was happening this morning in the service, I believe, is a part of that, the work of the Spirit of God in us to bring about the changes that He desires in us for us to be ever more ready for the adventures that He has for us. And we're just continuing on in that this morning. We have talked about being led into adventure. We saw the example of Jesus as He was led by the Spirit, and then we also saw the example of the apostles and the disciples throughout the book of Acts continually being led by the Spirit. And we heard these words of Jesus concerning His disciples. Again, is what we're experiencing here today. Jesus said, "And now I will send the Holy Spirit just as my Father promised, but stay here in the city until the Holy Spirit comes and fills you with power from heaven." And maybe what the Lord was saying here this morning is stay here in this sanctuary because the Spirit is being poured out in a new and a fresh way for you to receive that power from heaven, for you to accomplish the work that I've called you to do. This promise, as it says in Acts 2:39, was not just for the apostles or the disciples, but this promise is to you and to your children, even to the Gentiles, all who have been called by the Lord our God. So this promise is for all of us who have been called by God. And so we want to receive that blessing, that gift of the Holy Spirit from God. We've talked about we have an option here with our lives. We can either run scared for our life as if the purpose of life is to arrive safely at death. I always find that quite humorous. You know, is that the purpose of our life, to just live, you know, in isolation and security so that, you know, we'll arrive safely at death? Or we can start playing offense with our lives. And that is, again, offense with the Spirit of God, doing the things that He has called us to do and being a little bit more proactive rather than reactive, or more on the offense than on the defense with our lives. Also, we have talked about the choice of living for adventure with God, being led by God's energizer, the Holy Spirit, or living in captivity of human reasoning, missing the big adventures God has for you. We're going to look a little bit more at that today, but too often times we are dismissing the activity of God or the Spirit of God in our life because we're looking at things naturally. We've been taken captive by natural thinking and natural circumstances, and it prevents us or limits us from actually living out those adventures with God. Well, today I'm addressing it, and as I thought later about the way I titled the message, it was too late. Everything was printed, including the tape labels. But I thought, I don't really like how I titled this message. I titled it Restricted Adventure. And I thought, that's looking at it from the negative perspective. And so you know, I kind of would like to retitle this as Taking Off the Restrictions for Our Adventure. And really, that's what we're going to be looking at. I just kind of misnamed it. But so let's start here, and I want to talk to you about reading directions. You know, when you buy something, we're really to read the directions to know how to properly use it, properly put it together, properly, you know, whatever. Especially when it comes to reading the warning labels. I want to give you a few examples of some of the warning labels that are on products that you can buy, and some of them seem a little bit strange. Why would you have to put that kind of a warning label on that product? But, you know, when you realize that companies are continually being sued for inappropriate use of tools, you know, different things, you understand why they end up doing these kinds of silly things. But anyway, you'll see my point here in a little bit. Here's a bag of peanuts. And the warning that is on this bag of peanuts is, contains nuts. You know, I suppose they have to do that for someone who is allergic, you know, and you know, they're guarding themselves from litigation, and so, you know, they do put warnings like that on bags of peanuts. Here's another one, shin pads. And the warning is, shin pads do not protect any part of the body they do not cover. Okay? Well, yeah, again, you can understand that. Okay, how about this one? Now, this one might make more sense in our day and age that we live in, but it says this camera only works with film inside. I mean, you know, if you're used to digital photography and just started snapping it, snap, 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 well, where are these pictures? It's not there. Okay, here's one. You know, you buy a little container of pudding, and be careful, product will be hot after heating. I'm going to ask you to help me out on these. Let's see if you can figure out what the warning would be. Here's a chainsaw. What do you imagine the warning label is on this? Oh, that guy is smart. He read the warning label. You're good, sir. very good. Okay, now I know more of you will probably get this one. Now, how many of you have violated this warning? Okay. Now this one, I don't think you'll get this one. I don't think so. This is a wood router, and Melanie, you heard, some of you may in my family might have heard this one I was mentioning the other day, but what do you suppose the warning label would be on this? That's a good warning, but that's not it. I'll give it to you. This product not intended for use as a dental drill. What story? The guy who did his own root canal. Then I'm not going to tell that story. Oh, but yeah, can you imagine that? Turn the router on. Anyway, you might think, well, these are really, really silly, you know, and you know, it's just common sense. But one of the things that we need to understand is God gives us warning labels from His Word. And here's one of them that we're going to look at a little bit later in the message this morning. But that He gave us Israel in 1 Corinthians 10, verse 6 and verse 11. It says, these things happened as a warning to us so that we would not crave evil things as they did. These things happened to them as examples for us. They were written down to warn us who live at the end of the age. Okay, so God has given us in Scripture, He has given us the teachings of Scripture so that we can avoid painful experiences. And I forgot to underline the word painful for your notes there if you're going to go ahead and follow with the notes. Now, you know, obviously in life we are not going to avoid painful experiences. But you know what? Let's avoid the ones that we can, you know, by using not only common sense but also reading the warning labels that God has given us. He has given us wisdom for abundant life rather than stumbling along in spiritual failure and weakness. So some of these things we are going to apply today so that we can realize that, you know, God has an adventure for us, but that adventure might be foregone or missed completely because we have failed to heed the warnings of God. I'd like you, if you would, turn with me to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8 and verses 5 through 9. You know, I would consider this like a warning label from the Lord. Those who are dominated by the sinful nature think about sinful things, but those who are controlled by the Holy Spirit think about things that please the Spirit. So letting your sinful nature control your mind leads to death, but letting the Spirit control your mind leads to life and peace. For the sinful nature is always hostile to God. It never did obey God's laws, and it never will. That's why those who are still under the control of their sinful nature can never please God. But you are not controlled by your sinful nature. You are controlled by the Spirit if you have the Spirit of God living in you. And remember that those who do not have the Spirit of Christ living in them do not belong to Him at all. So again, here it's talking about you have the really the choice of being dominated by the sinful nature, which the results of that are as described by the scripture, death, hostility towards God, cannot please God. You know, this would maybe be that tug of war that where we're attempting to pull against God, and it's a result of us going after the nature of sin instead of going after this being controlled by the Spirit. Anyone important, Sue? Okay. Check it out. If it's for me, tell them I'm busy right now. Okay, so death, hostility towards God cannot please God. But the other is to be controlled by the Spirit. And the scriptural results of that is thinking about things that please the Spirit and the result of life and peace. Life and peace instead of death or hostility towards God or unable to please God. So again, what I'm sharing with this is an example of God giving us the ability to choose, the powerful ability to choose, and in that choice, we can choose the adventures that God has for us, or we can choose to kind of squander our life away or live our life in a way hostile to God, not pleasing God, and obviously not living out the adventures that God intends for us. Okay, so let's look at some of the limitations that would restrict us that would prevent us from walking in those adventures that God intends. First of all, it's a very obvious one, and that would be sin. And 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 21 says, "If you keep yourself pure, you will be a special utensil for honorable use. Your life will be clean, and you will be ready for the Master to use you for every good work." You know, how about if God speaks to your mind or speaks to your heart and says, "I want you to stand up and give a message in tongues." And you say, "Well, I'm not ready." You know, and the reason why you're not ready is because of something that's been going on in your life that's not, you know, not been taken care of. And so here it is, you know, God says you can be ready for the Master to use you for every good work. And that is by keeping ourselves pure. Sin will prevent us from having those adventures with God. Another restricted limitation is ignorance, or not knowing God's thoughts and ways. And I'm just going to make reference to these passages of Scripture. We've been touching on these throughout the messages. And by the way, for those of you who are visiting here today, if you want to go back and get messages, you can do that online. If you have internet access, just go to www.pfc-of-dc.org, click on the sermons page, and there's a list of sermons that you can listen to. So just give that plug. But or you can ask for a tape or CD or DVD. Anyway, the point of this verse that I want to share, Isaiah 55, 8 through 11, we've looked at this recently, but it says that God's thoughts and ways are higher than ours, and that God sends His word to accomplish its purpose. So, again, ignorance of God's ways and thoughts, naturally, we will not be thinking His thoughts and His ways, because naturally, they are much higher than ours. But God gives us His word so that we can start to think and understand the ways as God does. He gives us His word so we can accomplish those things that He intends His word to accomplish in our lives and in the lives of others. So He sends His word so that we don't have to be ignorant of His higher ways and thoughts. Also in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, in verses 14 and 15, it says that the things of God are foolishness to the natural man. And it says that those who are spiritual can understand what the Spirit means. few weeks ago, we talked about the Holy Spirit and how the Celtics referred to him as wild goose. And we talked about going on a wild goose chase, following after the Spirit of God, who is unpredictable, like a wild goose would be unpredictable. The Spirit of God, as Jesus described, is like the wind. You can see the result of his moving, but you don't know where it comes or where it goes. And that's like the Spirit of God at work in our lives. But it says that the spiritual one, those who are spiritual, can understand what the Spirit means. We're able to sense and discern, this is what the Spirit of God wants me to do. But if we are thinking naturally as a natural man, we're going to go, that's foolish. Why would I ever do that? So those are things that can restrict us or limit our adventure with God because we're ignorant or we're thinking just naturally. Romans 12:2 has the answer to that when it says, don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. So we can be changed into from the natural man to the spiritual man. We can be transformed into that by changing the way we think, by God working that, changing the way we think. And a lot of that is going to happen as a result of you hearing God's word, reading God's word, because then you'll see the way God thinks and you'll see his ways. Then our minds are renewed and we will then understand, we'll learn to know God's will for us, what is good and pleasing and perfect. Here's the area that I want to spend the most time on this morning, and that is a lack of faith or believing or trusting God. And here's where we're going to see Israel as the example, God giving us this warning label through the children of Israel and specifically their time spent in the wilderness. But we'll begin by looking in Hebrews chapter 3 as it makes reference to it here. Hebrews chapter 3 and verses 12 through 19. Throughout Scripture, this event of the Israelites in the wilderness is offered up as an example, and we are admonished to not behave as Israel did, but to respond differently. And in Hebrews chapter 3, it's giving us that very thing. Hebrews 3 beginning with verse 12. Be careful then, dear brothers and sisters. Make sure that your own hearts are not evil and unbelieving, turning you away from the living God. You must warn each other every day while it is still today, so that none of you will be deceived by sin and hardened against God. For if we are faithful to the end, trusting God just as firmly as when we first believed, we will share in all that belongs to Christ. Remember what it says, today when you hear his voice, don't harden your hearts as Israel did when they rebelled. And who is it who was rebelling against God? Even though they heard his voice, wasn't it the people Moses led out of Egypt? And who made God angry for 40 years? Wasn't it the people who sinned, whose corpses lay in the wilderness? And to whom was God speaking when he took an oath that they would never enter his rest? Wasn't it the people who disobeyed him? So we see that because of their unbelief, they were not able to enter his rest. I'm going to put these notes up here for you. Even though they heard his voice, they rebelled against God. When they were at Mount Sinai, God began to speak, and they became deathly afraid of the voice of God and the trembling mountain and the smoke and fire on top of that mountain. And they told Moses, you go, you get what God has for us. We can't stand to listen to his voice, but you tell us what God says, and we will do everything that he says. Well, they didn't. Even though they heard his voice, they rebelled against God. And it says, because of their unbelief, they were not able to enter his rest. And I would, without adding to the scriptures, I would put this word in as well as entering his rest, as entering his adventure. They were given the promised land. They were told to go in and take possession of the promised land. And in fact, what they were doing, this is something that Horacio and I were discussing this week in our time together, that not only was God giving them that land, God wasn't saying, I'm doing this for you just because you're so special. He was saying, I'm judging those nations that are there. And see, they were being involved in this adventure of God of even judging these nations who were there in the land of Canaan. So there was an adventure there for them in possessing this land that God had given them, more than just the rest of coming out of Egypt and now walking with God in that way. But I'd like you to turn back to Numbers chapter 13 and 14, because it's good for us to look at the actual experience. As I said, throughout Scripture, this is referred to over and over again as an example for us, as a warning label for us. But to see it in what actually happens, there is so much. And I know this scripture is familiar to you if you've been around here for any length of time, because I've referred to it a number of times, the experience of Israel coming up to the promised land and then not being able to enter, and why. But even as I was preparing for this week, there was new things that I was getting out of it that I would like to share with you. And so I trust that this is not redundant, because you've maybe heard this before. I believe that it's always good for us to hear the scriptures, and we'll always get something new if we're tugging on that rope towards God. So Numbers, beginning with chapter 13, it says, "The Lord now said to Moses, send out men to explore the land of Canaan, the land I'm giving to the Israelites. Send out one leader from each of the 12 ancestral tribes. So Moses did as the Lord commanded him. He sent out 12 men, all tribal leaders of Israel." And I'm going to bypass the names of the tribes and those who went. And beginning with verse 17, then it says, "Moses gave the men these instructions as he sent them out to explore the land. Go north through the Negev into the hill country, see what the land is like, and find out whether the people living there are strong or weak, few or many. See what kind of land they live in. Is it good or bad? Do the towns have walls, or are they unprotected like open camps? Is the soil fertile or poor? Are there many trees? Do your best to bring back samples of the crops you see." It happened to be the season for harvesting the first ripe grapes. Now, I'd like you to see something. In verse 18, the first words there is see. See what the land is like. Now, remember that God was sending these explorers into the land. God instructed Moses to send these explorers. He didn't just say, go on into the land. He said, go and check it out. Now, what I noticed in this was something that came to me, is that God says, have regard for the circumstances. You know, he said, go in and check out, see if it's a good land or a bad land, see if the cities are fortified or not, you know, if the people are strong or not. And so God does not ever tell us, you know what, just deny that the circumstances even exist. Just deny they exist. You have my word, you have my promise, and go ahead with that. You have my promise to go in the promised land, doesn't matter what's there, just go. Well, he said, take account of what's there. Okay, so that was significant to me as I was reading through this. God doesn't tell us to deny the circumstances, but we are not to be ruled by them. And this, we'll see what happens. I think I'm going to skip the part of them going and let's come to their report then in verse 25. After exploring the land for 40 days, the men returned to Moses, Aaron, and the whole company of Israel at Kadesh in the wilderness of Paran. They reported to the whole community what they had seen and showed them the fruit that they had taken from the land. This was reported to Moses. Excuse me, this was their report to Moses. We entered the land you sent us to explore, and it is indeed a bountiful country, a land flowing with milk and honey. Here is the kind of fruit it produces. But the people living there are powerful, and their towns are large and fortified. We even saw giants there, the descendants of Anak. The Amalekites live in the Negev, and the Hittites, Jebusites, Amorites live in the hill country. The Canaanites live along the coasts of the Mediterranean Sea and along the Jordan Valley. But Caleb tried to quiet the people as they stood before Moses. "Let's go at once to take the land," he said. "We can certainly conquer it." But the other men who had explored the land with him disagreed. "We can't go up against them. They are stronger than we are." So they spread this bad report about the land among the Israelites. "The land we traveled through and explored will devour anyone who goes to live there. All the people we saw were huge. We even saw giants there, the descendants of Anak. Next to them, we felt like grasshoppers," and that's what they thought too. Now, before we go on, I want to share some notes here with you if you'd like to take notes as we go. Again, the explorers brought back their report. They said, "This is a good land, but there are giants, and those giants would devour us." And they said, "We felt like grasshoppers." Here is in their mind what they saw. They saw the giants of Canaan, and they saw themselves as grasshoppers before them. That's what they thought. That's what they thought in their own minds. And you know what? They projected that to the Canaanites as well. Because in their own mind, they said, you know what? That's what they think of us too. You know, I was remembering as I was reading through this and thought about, you know, how they thought that they thought about them. I thought, you know, when the two spies went and were hidden by Rahab, is that what they thought of the Israelites then? "Oh, you're just grasshoppers. We're going to smack you down." The people who were in Canaan, and specifically in Jericho at that time, they had heard all the things that God had done in delivering them from Egypt and their 40 years in the wilderness then. This is the second time they're coming up to Canaan. And they were afraid. They knew that they were wasted. They knew that God was on these guys' side. And so they were afraid of them. And see, but these guys, in their own minds, they said, you know what? They're a whole lot bigger than we are. They're a whole lot more fortified than we are. And so they must think that we're like grasshoppers. They projected that what they thought about themselves, they projected that on their enemies as well. And let me go ahead here. Caleb and Joshua, though, they had a different spirit about them. That's what we'll read here shortly. It says, we certainly can conquer it. The Lord is with us, so don't be afraid of them. And it says that the people hardened their hearts and rebelled against God. You know, there was one word that really jumped out at me as I was reading through this, and this was in verse 28. It was as the explorers were giving their report, and the first word in verse 28 says, "But." They started giving their report of the good land, and then they said, "But the people living there are powerful." And that is when they not only observed the circumstances, but the circumstances then became rulers over them. When they said, "But," you know, they could have said, "And." They could have said, you know, the land is flowing with milk and honey, and there's giants there. Can you see the difference? When they said, "But," they were saying, "We can't take it for this reason." If they would have said, and there's giants there, oh, by the way, there's giants there, you know, but God has promised us this land. That's exactly how Caleb and Joshua responded. So what? There's giants there. God is with us. He's not with them. They're unprotected. We're protected. And so they were seeing things differently. They didn't see themselves as grasshoppers compared to the Canaanites. They saw themselves as conquerors compared to the Canaanites. And I want to ask you this question. If that group of explorers came and presented that kind of a report here, whose side would you line up with? But I want to make it more personal than that. I want to say, whose side are you lining up with? Because God is presenting before us as a congregation, God is presenting before you as an individual or your family or you as husband and wife. He is presenting before you adventures for you, promised lands for you. And he doesn't say, ignore the circumstances. Oh, Yeah, God will supply all my needs according to his riches and glory, but gas prices are so high and food has gone way up. When we use the word but, we are saying the circumstances control. So therefore, God obviously cannot supply all of our needs because look at the way gas prices are. When we say but, we can say and God will supply all your needs according to his riches and glory, and gas prices are way high and food is way high. But God's not limited. You know, it's when we use that word but, we put but in the wrong place. See, we should say, you know, and gas prices are so high, but God is greater than than gas prices. Like Caleb and Israel, or Caleb and Joshua, they said, there's giants in the land, but God is on our side. And they're unprotected. Let me go ahead, chapter 14. Then the whole community began weeping aloud, and they cried all night. Their voices rose in a great chorus of protests against Moses and Aaron. If only we had died in Egypt, or even here in the wilderness. Realize that they declared their own end right there. In fact, I'm going to jump ahead. Verse 28. Now tell them this. This is God speaking to Moses. He says, now tell them this. As surely as I live, declares the Lord, I will do to you the very things I heard you say. They said, it would have been better for us to stay in Egypt, or it would be better for us to have died in the wilderness. And God says, I'm going to do just exactly what you said. How many times do we say things contrary to what God has told us, and we get what we say? Not necessarily because God is punishing us for what we have said, but it's because that's the choice we have made. And that's the way we think. We think we're grasshoppers instead of conquerors. Okay. Why, verse 3, why is the Lord taking us to this country only to have us die in battle? Our wives and our little ones will be carried off as plunder. Wouldn't it be better for us to return to Egypt? Then they plotted among themselves, let's choose a new leader and go back to Egypt. Then Moses and Aaron fell down on the ground before the whole community of Israel. Two of the men who had explored the land, Joshua, son of Nun, and Caleb, son of Jephunneh, tore their clothing. They said to the people of Israel, the land we traveled through and explored is a wonderful land, and if the Lord is pleased with us, he will bring us safely into that land and give it to us. It is a rich land flowing with milk and honey. Do not rebel against the Lord, and don't be afraid of the people of the land. They are only helpless. Pray to us. It's a little different picture than we're grasshoppers to that conquering army. They're only helpless. Pray to us. They have no protection. But the Lord is with us. Don't be afraid of them. The whole community began to talk about stoning Joshua and Caleb. Then the glorious presence of the Lord appeared to all the Israelites at the tabernacle. And the Lord said to Moses, how long will these people treat me with contempt? Will they never believe me, even after all the miraculous signs I have done among them? I will disown them and destroy them with a plague, and then I will make you into a nation greater than and mightier than they are. Now, this is God saying, I'm going to wipe them out. Moses, I'll start all over with you. Here's where Moses pleads on behalf. He intercedes on behalf of the people and says, Lord, please don't do this. It's not going to be good for your reputation. If you brought Israel out of Egypt and then destroy them now, you know, everyone in Egypt's going to say, yeah, he just took them out in the wilderness and boom. You know, so God says, okay. Verse 20, the Lord said, I will pardon them as you have requested. But as surely as I live and as surely as the earth is filled with the Lord's glory, not one of these people will enter that land. They have all seen my glorious presence and the miraculous signs I performed both in Egypt and in the wilderness. But again and again, they have tested me by refusing to listen to my voice. They will never even see the land I swore to give their ancestors. None of those who have treated me with contempt will ever see it. But my servant Caleb has a different attitude than the others have. He has remained loyal to me. So I will bring him into the land he explored. His descendants will possess their full share of the land. Now turn around and don't go on toward the land where the Amalekites and Canaanites live. Tomorrow you must set out for the wilderness in the direction of the Red Sea." You know, as Moses then explains this punishment to the people of Israel, then they go, "Oh, we've made a mistake. You know what? Let's obey God's word. Let's go ahead and go into Canaan land now." And God says, "Don't you dare go now, because I'm not going to be with you." And a few of them charge out thinking, well, yeah, we can do it because God said we could do it, you know, right? So we're going with that first word. And so they go out, and the Canaanites come out and just start. They actually chase them away, and people run back to the camp. And they realize, you can read that through and see the details of that. But, you know, the point that I want to share in this, and the point that God brings out through the other scriptures, is because of their unbelief, they couldn't enter into that adventure. And how many times are we siding up with unbelief instead of siding up with trust in the Lord's words, or trust in being led by the Spirit to do something that would otherwise be unusual, that would seem to be foolishness, but yet you're spiritually discerning it and knowing that this is God's will for you. You are thinking different than normally you would think, because you're thinking the higher thoughts of God and the higher ways of God, and you're being changed, you're being transformed, because your mind is being renewed with this new thinking, and you are proving out what God's will is in your life. See, we can have these adventures, or we can be limited by these various things in our life. So let's talk about overcoming the limitations. This is a scripture that, you know, I love to hear it, read it in the Amplified Translation. That's Ephesians chapter 3, verse 21. And so I have it printed up here for you. "Now to him who, by in consequence of the action of his power that is at work within us, is able to carry out his purpose and do superabundantly far over and above all that we dare ask or think, infinitely beyond our highest prayers, desires, thoughts, hopes, or dreams." Now that's God's power at work in us. That's what he intends. We struggle with it because it is so far beyond what we would even think to pray about, or our desires, or our thoughts, or our hopes, or even our dreams. That's how far above he is able to do. Abundantly, superabundantly, far over and above. So how many times are we limiting him because we're not seeing him able to do, as it says, "Now to him who is able by the power that's at work within us." And I'm just going to make reference again to the Isaiah 55. God's thoughts and ways are higher than ours, beyond even our imaginations. This is why, again, when we did the baby dedication for Zane, that thing kept coming to me about how children will teach us because of their imaginations. Anything can happen. This cut-off airplane in a museum where you see just part of it and the little child's climbing up into it, say, "This take off?" You know, in his mind, he can see it flying. In our mind, we go, "No wings, no jet, no, you know, it can't happen." We always think about things naturally. And so it is with the Spirit of God, too. The Spirit of God leads you to do something beyond what you would normally reason. And you go, "Huh, no, that can't happen." Let's start thinking the higher ways and higher thoughts of God that he gives us in his word. And then again, the Romans 12, 2. "Let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think." You know, stop using grasshoppers in your mind. Stop saying "but" in the wrong place. Stop saying "but God can't do it because of the circumstances." Instead, start saying "the circumstances are such, but God is greater than that." And then I just want to toss out this scripture, because I think if we were all honest, we would be able to recognize this is the man whose son was being demonized, and he was throwing him into the fire, throwing him into the water. Here he is manifesting demons right now in front of the Lord and this man. And the man says to him, "Jesus, I know that you can cast out this demon if you will." And Jesus said, "If I will," he says, "all things are possible to him who believes." And the father responds and says, "I do believe. Help my unbelief." You know, if we were to be honest, there would be many times where we would say, "Lord, I trust you, I believe you, but there's still areas in my life where I'm not believing. Please help my unbelief. Instead of strutting around saying, yeah, I'm a man of faith and power. I can do all things through Christ. All things, let me tell you, all things. You know, and, you know, let's in humility acknowledge, you know, there's some things that I have trouble doing in Christ because I don't always trust him. There's too many times when the circumstances are ruling my life. Okay, so let's be honest and say, Lord, help my unbelief when we have trouble, because we don't want these things restricting us. We don't want sin restricting us. We don't want our ignorance restricting us. We don't want this lack of faith or trust in God restricting us from experiencing the adventures of life, living with the Holy Spirit, doing his will in our lives and accomplishing and possessing the promises that God has for us, like the promised land for Israel. Read the warning label. Read the warning that God gave us concerning Israel. He said they won't enter because of their unbelief. Let's not enter because of our lack of faith. Let's pray. Lord, we offer these thoughts up to you this morning, and I pray that you would sort and organize according to each one's need. May we heed your word, Lord. May we believe your word. May your word change and transform us, Lord, so that we will not be conformed to the natural ways of the world, but instead we'll be changed and transformed, and we'll be able to discern and prove what your will is in our life and be able to act the adventures that you have intended for us. Lord, I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. We invite you to stick around for the snacks and our interaction time. The questions here are, why are people so inclined toward grasshopper mentality? And we're not talking kung fu, okay? Oh, grasshopper. We're talking, you know, these guys that said, you know, there's the fortified army and here we are, we're just insects to be squashed. But why are people so inclined? Why are we so inclined toward grasshopper mentality, concluding that we can't rather than we can? And how does 2 Corinthians 4:18 relate to this? I didn't share that verse this morning. You have to look that one up, see what it says. If the Lord is able to do super abundantly, far over and above all that we ask or think, even beyond our highest prayers, desires, thoughts, hopes, or dreams, how will we ever not be restricted by our thinking? Put some thought to that and share those thoughts with each other. And how can we develop in our faith? How does faith come? See Romans 10:17. If you said, Lord, help my unbelief, what do you think the Lord would say or do in response to your request? Okay, so go back, help yourself to a beverage, and the snacks are at the table. Group up with someone else. Give at least the first 20 minutes. If you desire to stay, if you need to go, that's fine. We understand you're welcome to go, but if you'd like to stay, at least give the first 20 minutes to discussion around here, and then go ahead on into fellowship if you desire to do that. But Lord bless you. You're dismissed.